And that's exactly the maker philosophy exploration. And they're going to make mistakes. And that's really part of the maker way. The trick is, what did you learn from those mistakes? And then start all over again.
That's Ella Schwartz. And I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Ella Schwartz writes fiction and nonfiction books for young readers. In addition, she works with the U.S. federal government on strategic technology initiatives related to cybersecurity. She joins us to talk about her latest book with National Geographic Kids, Make This, Building, Thinking, and Tinkering Projects for the Amazing Maker in You. Ella, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the term maker. What does that mean?
So a lot of people think different things about makers. I like to think that a maker is pretty much anyone who has a creative spark to them. Makers can be artists, painters, bakers, builders, you name it. If you can think it and make it, you're a maker.
Well, this book is called Make This, Building, Thinking, and Tinkering Projects for the Amazing Maker in You. What age range do you envision this book being for?
So the folks at National Geographic, they say it's for ages 8 to 12. But I really think there's something in here for everybody, even adults, even grown-ups will enjoy this book.
Well, in the book, you talk about maker spaces and maker boxes. So tell us about those and what we need if we want to set up one of these spaces or make one of those boxes.
Well, a maker space is really just an area that you're comfortable working, maybe getting dirty. As far as equipment, you don't need a lot of very expensive, very fancy equipment to get started becoming a maker. Some people think that makers need, you know, 3D printers, welding machines, heavy equipment. No, you can get started with a very simple, what I call a maker box. And that's just really scraps from around your house. I really believe in recycling and reusing. So if you have, you know, craft sticks, straws, chopsticks, bottle caps, you know, stick that all in your maker box. And then you'll have everything on the ready when you're ready to make.
Well, tell us about how this book is organized.
The book is organized really by scientific topic. So we get into systems, materials, acoustics, motion, forces. And there are projects within each chapter under each scientific discipline that really speaks to that topic and goes into some detail.
So I noticed you have Make This, but you also have Solve This, and also a section here and there of Quick Facts.
Right. So every project has this, you know, Make This and how we go about step by step making the project. But then we also encourage the maker to extend on what they've done and think about it. Think about what they've done. What are the results? Why did they get the results that they got? You know, what might change? What's going on? What might change if they tweak the experiment here and there? So there's a lot of science packed into a lot of fun.
So you're introducing kids not only to scientific principles, but also the scientific process itself.
Precisely, yes. And for me, it was very important for kids not just to do the experiments and the projects, but to think about why they're getting the results that they're getting.
I suppose part of this is it's going to be fun for kids, but it's also a way to encourage kids to explore science and engineering.
Right. And that's exactly the maker philosophy exploration. And they're going to make mistakes. And that's really part of the maker way. The trick is, what did you learn from those mistakes? Then start all over again.
Give us an example here. You mentioned that the book is set up to demonstrate these different principles and their activities for the kids. So give us an example of how this would work.
The example I'll choose is my favorite project in the book, and that's the sun stove. And it's really exploring the idea of solar energy. But we're making a s'mores oven out of recycled pizza boxes. So, you know, normally we throw away those pizza boxes, but here we're turning it into an oven so the maker can roast marshmallows and make s'mores in their yard. And the idea of solar energy and harnessing the power of the sun is nothing new, but I hope it's a nice new take on it. But, you know, once we've had our fun and we've roasted our s'mores in our backyard, I really challenge the reader to think about how could we apply the principles of a solar oven to solving things in the world around us, you know, in the planet? Like, you know, there's some solve this challenges at the back of the chapter. And the idea there is, you know, okay, you built your solar oven. Can you extend it to build a sustainable, energy efficient building in the desert? And these are the problems that our kids will be solving as they get older and are in our world and our planet.
I'm looking at the book, and toward the back, it talks about making in the field. So it's not just what you can do at home, but how can you apply these just when you're out and about?
That's right. And that's the whole spirit of the book is, yes, we're doing projects in our home, but extending that to the world around us. You know, makers are real people that do this in the field, in the desert, in the oceans, on our icebergs. And they're using all of the ideas that we talk about in this book to solve real problems.
And you provide, for example, in that section about in the field, some real life examples of adult makers who are doing this.
Yes. The adult that we feature, the maker that we feature is Shah Selby. And he is an incredibly talented maker that does this for a living. And he wrote the foreword in the book and shared his wisdom and guidance with me as I was writing this book.
You know, we've heard a lot about makers, you know, over the last few years, and there are over 135 million adults who say that they are makers, and there are programs and school systems all across the country. What do you think that's driving this movement to identify as a maker and to encourage others to do so as well?
That's a really great question. And yes, so many adults and children are identifying as makers. I mean, the maker concept is nothing new, right? People have been imagining and dreaming since the dawn of time. I think what's really driving this now in a more formal way is this whole push for STEM, right? We hear about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And traditionally, schools have done the science and the math very well in front of a blackboard. But where schools have come short are on these more hands-on engineering learning. And there's a real push right now to get back to our roots and learn by doing and learn by exploring and creating rather than right in front of a blackboard. And so teachers are looking for ways to elevate their curriculums and their science lessons with real hands-on exercises. And that's where the maker movement comes in very, very nicely.
Another benefit I see of this is that even kids who aren't going to go into science and engineering as adults, they're going to gain a lot of confidence in their ability to learn things and do things that are going to be important to them throughout their lives, no matter what their career ends up being.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, certainly not everyone's going to pursue the sciences and the engineering. And that's not the point. The point is to just explore that creative side of you. And if you work with your hands and you may not be learning high-tech scientific principles, but you're learning how things come together. Even art, you know, that you integrate art into these lessons. You know, how will the colors that you choose affect your results? Like if you color this pink or you color it blue, you'll probably get a different result. Why is that? So, you know, it's not all about creating the next generation of scientists. It's really about creating the next generation of thinkers.
Ella, I'm curious, what was the experience like for you working with National Geographic Kids to put this book together?
National Geographic is an amazing organization, and they're doing amazing work. It was a real honor to work with the team at National Geographic. I mean, this project took 2+ years to put together, working with amazing professionals there. All of the pictures that you see in the book, there are lots of pictures of children. These are real children. They're not actors. We worked with these children over the course of 2 weeks to refine these projects, photograph them, get their feedback. And National Geographic really puts a lot of attention to making sure the experience is really fantastic for the reader, but also a very professional product. So the folks at Nat Geo, I mean, it was a real, real honor to work with them and see this project come together.
Ella, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The latest book by Ella Schwartz is Make This, Building, Thinking, and Tinkering Projects for the Amazing Maker in You. It's published by National Geographic Kids. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansasPublicRadio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.